Welcome to another edition of On Mic with Jordan Rich, a podcast for and about voice actors or anyone interested in the most fascinating of instruments, the human voice. And from time to time, we're going to stray and get into some music and also talk with some speakers and presenters. But today we go deep into the vault of voiceover history with living history. His name is Fred Freeze. Now, if that last name sounds familiar and you're one of those people who just keys in on things like this, you'll know Freeze in terms of voice. His dad was the legendary Paul Freeze, and we will not only talk about Paul Freeze, but feature some of his work over the years, as well as the work of Fred, Paul's son, very talented voiceover artist in his own right. He's also a teacher and a writer and has gathered a lot of great voice people on his own podcast and his own website that we'll tell you about. Among the credits of Fred Freeze, he's done several projects for the Cartoon Network, Pillsbury, Disneyland, and Disney World Interactive Kiosks, the Humane Society, various retail outlets. He's the voice of Car in the Knight Rider reproduction by Star Cars, and so many more projects, including audiobooks, such as Clem's Contrivance and Dracula Meets Jack the Ripper and Mel Blanc, The Man of a Thousand Voices. Fred is a fascinating guy, well-connected in the voice-over industry, and here's a little sample of what Fred Freeze can do.
There are three simple reasons to love Silk almond milk. We believe plants are the way to nourish people and the planet.
How to spot a website you can trust. It's one-click authentication, so you can be sure a site is legitimate, and it's always anchored with a check. VeriSign.
Sure, it's just a tire. Like Niagara Falls is just a waterfall.
How did he die? Your contact. Not well.
I'm gonna take over the world!
Hey, darling, get your six-shooter.
You will give me all of your money.
You are listening to The Wonderful World of Walt Disney.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
I used to weigh 90 pounds.
Not only did he come from an absolutely spiffingly wealthy family, he was an utter charmer with the ladies.
Cartoon Network needs you to save Secret Squirrel.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
This is your pilot speaking.
Hurry up, honey.
God, I hate going to the proctologist.
That's hilarious. Hysterical.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk with you, Fred, once again. You and I did a piece on my radio show a few years ago. Welcome back.
Thanks, Jordan.
You know, I was excited to mention the fact to friends that I was going to be talking to somebody with the name Freeze, F-R-E-E-S, related to voiceover, because that family name goes a long way, doesn't it?
It sure does. It does.
We're going to talk about your dad, but I really want to start with you. You have had a very successful career as a voice actor. Tell me a little bit about how that all got started. Was it literally at the feet of your dad or what?
Well, the inspiration began at his feet, certainly. I didn't really start doing it professionally until about 1994. So you could call that fairly recently, but that was about 23 years ago. And that's when things really got going for me. But certainly the idea bandied about in the back of my head all my life since I was a kid.
When you saw how much fun your dad was having and he made money at it, that must have been a nice inspiration.
Absolutely. But it was also a lot of hard work, Jordan. He was working long days and nights, especially in the 1960s and into the 70s. It was full-time work. He'd be gone all day and night, and his throat would be thrashed by the weekend. So in order to start it up again Monday morning, he had to tone it down.
Well, particularly, and we'll talk about you now, when you're doing animation work and characters and you have to do it take after take after take and be consistent, is that something that takes some skill and time to work out?
It does. It comes more naturally to some people than others. I can tell you that my dad never took lessons in his life. It was just natural to him. For me, it's a little bit of both. I like to practice, and I've taken courses and training, but when you've got it, you've got it. And a lot of that comes, you know, during school time, and you're goofing around, and you're making voices and causing trouble, and it just comes naturally to most character actors. It's just there. It's an inborn talent, and some people like to take, lessons, and certainly improv is a great way to flex all that out, and it gets you more creative, and you understand what it means to make choices, and you just have a more comedic sense. That's why a lot of comic people are very good at it, because they know what timing is all about. You certainly have to do, when you're recording, do things in a certain time frame. So you don't want to run long or run short. So you get this inner clock working, and it all works together, Jordan.
Fred, the fantasy of many people is to be the voice of that cartoon character they've always loved. But again, I want to follow up on this, and then we'll talk later about what your dad was all about. To do a character consistently and come back and do it a year from now after you've done it for a while, that's, I think, where the real skill set comes in, because you have to match up with that character and rediscover it and be consistent, don't you?
That's absolutely true. Especially if you're busy doing other things, and you end up doing other characters, you have to kind of remind yourself who that guy was. I find that's even true during an audiobook, that you might have a character at the beginning, and he doesn't really come back until the end of the book. And by the time I get to the end, I have to listen to what I did in the beginning, and I go, how did I do that guy? And other characters that are more consistent, it's easier to maintain that.
I mentioned in the introduction, Fred Freese has done several audiobooks, has lots of credits. That's a workout. I've done a few myself, and that's a workout for a voice artist. It takes sometimes weeks because of the content. Is there any particular advice you have for people getting into that area?
First, discover what it is you want to do in an audiobook. There's a lot of different genres in audiobooks, and some people have skill sets toward biographies or nonfiction type material. Other people are better doing fictional stuff, which, you know, involves doing characters. Some like doing sci-fi, others romantic novels, or classic novels like Mark Twain. It really depends. So if you're going to do an audiobook, find out what it is you are best suited for. Don't
right.
You know, brush it with a broad stroke and say, I just want to do any old audiobook. That's not going to fly. And certainly, if you're going to start out with a small book. Don't inundate yourself with something that's 200, 300, 400, 500 pages long, or you're not going to have the what's the word I'm looking for? The
stamina.
Endurance.
Yeah, the endurance.
The endurance necessary to carry it through.
Well, there are so many things at play here. One, of course, is the fact that a book is written for the eye, not the ear, and you have to learn how to adapt to reading for the ear at that point, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. But you're telling a story, and it's really true for any type of voice work is a kind of storytelling, even if it's a commercial or any other narrative. Or even when you pick up the phone and you call somebody and there's a recording on the phone and they say, please hold the line, they're telling a story of some kind. And especially in an audiobook where it's written by, with usually there's a narrator and there's a lot of he said, she said at the end of each sentence and phrases, you're a storyteller. And it's that ability to get across, you're communicating. You have to think in terms more of your ability to communicate to someone else. You're not necessarily trying to entertain them, but you're trying to communicate to them. And in doing so, the entertainment comes out, the information comes out.
We're in an era now where there's so much video, but there's actually a lot of audio that has to go along with the video. I mean, it's not the days of the golden age of radio, but boy, if you're a good, solid voice actor, and you work hard enough, there certainly is product out there.
Well, there's more than ever, Jordan. With the internet, there's so much out there, and everyone has now the ability to have their own home studio, their own software. It's pretty good material. I mean, stuff that's fairly cheap to get a microphone and build a little acoustical area for yourself, and then online, I mean, there's so much out there, and it's global. You don't have to confine yourself to just where you live or even in the country that you're in. And there's so much material because there's training videos, there's YouTube. It really is endless, and a lot of it, there's animation inside websites, inside all kinds of areas that It's endless now.
Speaking of training, it's one of the things you do as well, and I do it, and it's important to remember that you can teach someone, to a certain extent, what the techniques are. Some of it's got to be inborn, but do you have a particular style or method of coaching and teaching people in the voice business, Fred, that you'd share with us?
Yeah, absolutely, Jordan. I specialize in teaching character voices. I've decided not to try to teach commercial reads or narration, which I could do if I wanted, but I really like doing character voices only. And so anyone that wants to learn to discover, and that's part of my teaching method, is discovery, finding out what you can do that you didn't think you could do. And it's very surprising that people say, oh, I can do this voice or maybe another voice, and I'll get you up to maybe 20 different characters if it's inside you. And part of it is motivation, making the person feel motivated and committed. And usually someone that wants to do character voices and make an animation demo, because that's the end result of all that. It's kind of pointless to take lessons if you're not going to make your animation demo
right
in order to compete with everybody. And that I can produce that too. I insist that people think beyond their limited vision of their own abilities, because they have no idea what's inside them. And that's what I like to do most. And I've been pretty successful bringing out all this inner stuff, because some people don't have an acting background. And that's very challenging.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that in your credits. I mean, you have quite a bit of experience as an actor, and it says here you perform for the Shakespeare Society of America. So if you're acting and you're doing Shakespeare, then you're definitely in the game.
Well, yeah, I had my time in leotards up on stage, and it's definitely that's a whole other aspect of it. And I did that when I was a lot younger.
Mm-hmm.
So. A lot of that stuff comes back, and I think of so many of the things that I learned as an actor and in acting school and in drama class that's applicable to doing voice work, because there's so much physicality to it that people don't realize. They think it's just in your throat, that your vocal cords, oh, I can do a voice. But if you're just standing there and your body, your arms aren't moving and your body's not moving, you're not going to get across the emotive part of it that is essential to doing character work. And if you ever see the behind the scenes of the celebrities now, they're doing the character voices, which has become so popular. You'll see that they're crawling on the floor. They're jumping up and down. They're it's a very physical
right.
And that acting. There's always some acting that I did. You hardly said a word, but your body was moving. So it's the combination of the physicality and the vocality that brings that character out.
Talking with Fred Fries, a buddy of mine from the West Coast. I say buddy because we've done a couple of shows now, but we're in the same business. He's a very experienced and very talented voiceover artist and teacher. Before we talk about your legacy and your pre-legacy, which is your dad, let's talk about this certain website called voicepeddler.com. I know I'll be part of it at some point in the near future. What is that all about? And talk about the interviews you've been gathering.
Well, Jordan, it started off as Voice Peddler was a description of what I do. Rather than call myself a voice actor, which I did for many years, on my business card and on my website, as everyone does. Everyone tries to find some special brand for themselves. A voice actor, voice talent, voiceover artist is a very popular one. I tried all those, and it just wasn't settling in right with me. I wanted something more distinctive. I tried voiceovers, the plural, just Fred Fries voiceovers. And I printed a bunch of business cards that said that, and I ended up throwing those away because it was just too ordinary and too commonplace. So I came up with the word peddler to distinguish what I was doing, and it sort of was a description of I'm selling my voice, I'm peddling, which is what we're all doing. We're all trying to get out there and
right.
be noticed by everybody. Voice Peddler has now branched into Voice Peddler Productions and has become way beyond my own little website now. Voice Peddler Productions now produces a bi-monthly interview show on YouTube called The Voice Peddler Interviews. And the first one was with the legendary Mark Grau. It started July 1st, and coming up on July 15th is Bob Bergen. And the 1st and 15th of every month here, too, on for the foreseeable future will be the Voice Peddler Interviews. And in tandem with the Voice Peddler Interviews is a Facebook group, which is a very exclusive group that works hand-in-hand with the interviews, and it's called the Voice Peddler Interviews Family. And that's a Facebook group with an unbelievable, including yourself, Jordan, an unbelievable talented pool of, there's casting people and actors and top people in the industry, and also people who are on their way up in the industry, because I find myself in a position where I'm really happy helping those who are just about to make it to stardom and give them that promotion that they deserve, because there's such great talent out there that nobody's heard yet.
No, I agree, and I think the fact that we're all really competing not against each other as much as with our own efforts and how much energy we pour into this, and by sharing, you're always going to help yourself at the same time. So it's voicepeddler.com, and then you can link to all the interviews and stuff that are coming up, and I look forward to joining you at some point in the future. Now, I've been teasing this. Let's talk a little bit about your dad. Paul Frees, for those of us in the industry, is considered, he's up there with Mel Blanc as one of the, well, he was the man of a thousand voices, your dad. He's one of the giants, the icons of the industry. And you probably can do this off the top of your head. I would rather have you talk about some of his credits, because he's got gazillions of them over four or five decades. What would most people know your dad from?
Well, if you want to include the younger generation who really can't remember, or if they haven't really looked it up to see what he did before, the Haunted Mansion is probably the biggest one today that people would remember. He's the ghost host of the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland and Disney World. And go back further, he was the original voice of the Pillsbury Doughboy. And then before that, he was Boris Badenoff Rocky and Bullwinkle show, and literally over a dozen voices in that show besides Boris were his. Every time Peabody went back into history, it was my dad that they would visit.
When hinges creak in doorless chambers and strange and frightening sounds echo through the halls, whenever candlelights flicker where the air is deathly still, that is the time when ghosts are present, practicing their terror with ghoulish delight.
Well, so let's buy both ticket and go back home.
Buy ticket and go back home? Natasha, where is your pride, your professional integrity? We steal tickets and go back home.
Pillsbury crescents have so much butter flavor, they're hard to forget. Try butter-flavored crescents.
Fresh and hot. And Pillsbury says it best.
Hey! Who did that?
I did.
Suspended in the timelessness of inner space are the thought waves of my first impressions. They will be our only source of contact once you have passed beyond the limits of normal
magnification.
Now take this down.
It's a difficult responsibility that you accept from the number one lawmaker, me. Have it known throughout the land from sea to sea. There'll be no more toy makers to the king.
You forgot to reverse the charges.
If she wants £10, I'll give her £10. One, two, three, four.
What do you think you're doing, Morocco?
I just want to make sure I am me.
So I can lose those green bit envy, red bit anger, purple passionate blue.
That is the one and only Paul Frees. We're talking with his son, Fred, and Paul was such an amazing talent for so many decades. And one of the things that really blew my mind was, of course, the work he did in films, in dubbing in character voices of certain actors. One in particular really impresses me. He did the voice of Humphrey Bogart in Bogey's last film, The Harder They Fall. Bogart, of course, was suffering from the onset of throat cancer, and your father mimicked him, and some of those lines were dubbed in. That's quite an achievement for anybody in the voice business.
He not only dubbed Bogey, but Dad was in the movie as the priest at the final, I think it was the last half hour of that movie. So he's actually on screen doing his on-camera acting, and he dubbed for Bogey in that movie. So he did double duty on that one.
And he did all kinds of movies where he used accents and high-pitched voice, low-pitched voice. Did he actually dub some of the voice work for Tony Curtis in Some Like It Hot?
He was Tony Curtis's female counterpart. There seemed to be some dispute over that for some strange reason. I think Tony Curtis didn't want to admit he was incapable of doing it or had a problem doing it. But it's my dad.
Mm.
Clearly, it's Paul Freese doing the overdub of that voice. I always know my dad, no matter what kind of voice he was doing. I always could tell it was him. Dad could never fool me. You know, he fools other people, and they go, "Wow, he sounds just like, you know, Peter Lorre. He sounds just like, you know, whoever." And I go, "Well, that's my dad." I guess there's something inherent about knowing who your parents are.
Absolutely. And I wanted to mention, you're personally the owner of a great vocal range. You can do a lot with your voice. And I read in some of the notes and some of the pre-interview stuff that your dad had like a huge four-octave range in terms of his voice. That's why you say he did the Pillsbury Doughboy and Boris Badenoff. I mean, you can't get any more of a range than that.
That's true. But even he stretched it further than that. He was the Raid Bugs.
Oh, yes, I remember that commercial.
The ones that screeched, "Raid!" And that was even a higher pitch than a Doughboy. And he also did a lot of the low-pitched Orson Welles type of narration that where his voice could get very deep. He did Day After Trinity, which was a documentary about Oppenheimer. He's got his very deep narrative voice going there. And yes, he had a huge range, and part of that was because he could sing as well.
Your work with Disney is interesting. You've been doing a lot, and your dad was very involved, as you mentioned, the Haunted House thing, but so many projects for Disney that live on to this day. That's a different kind of voiceover because you're doing it for an event or an exhibition.
Well, he did a lot of the stuff at Disney. There's a lot of other stuff at Disneyland that Dad did. Some of the things that aren't there anymore, they took away the Adventures Through Inner Space, where you were shrunken down to the size of a molecule, and Dad was the scientist voice who experimented on himself, and he says, I'm getting smaller, smaller. And he's also most of the voices of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
He introduced Abraham Lincoln in the Lincoln exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
Several others, but he was also famously the voice of Professor Ludwig van Dreyk.
Yes, and that I remember that so well as part of my youth. And also the Pirates of the Caribbean. He's involved in a lot of that stuff, isn't he?
Yeah. Johnny Depp, notwithstanding, he was most of the pirates in that exhibit.
Wow.
So when you're hearing the yo-ho-hos and all the stuff, that's him.
Now, I wonder, can you do any of his voices? Can you follow up with anything that he did?
Well, I did for several years on the Cartoon Network. I was the voice of Morocco Mole, which was his Peter Lorre.
Oh, yes.
Impression from the Secret Squirrel Show.
And remind us as to what that sounded like.
Well, that Secret Squirrel, it was the Peter Lorre type of voice, you see. And he said, "Hey, Secret Squirrel." And I had this whole thing going, and I start changing my voice, but it's a Peter Lorre impression.
Yeah, no, exactly. And when you look at the old Warner Brothers cartoons, I love those with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, and they're doing Warner Brother takeoffs of Laurie and Edward G. Robinson and Bogey. I love that kind of stuff. So your dad's legacy is intact, and yours is quite firm, too, with the work you're doing. What do you see for the future of this industry in terms of you and younger people coming up?
Well, I'm planning to keep doing my interview shows, and I'm working, Voice Peddler Productions is working in association with Bear Manor Media, which is a publishing company that has done biographies, including one about my dad and one about Mel Blanc, and a lot of notaries in the business. And we're doing a lot of creative stuff, making musical, sketch comedy, just wild stuff, just being creative. You know, it's the kind of stuff I like to do, Jordan, without any restrictions. You come up, we've developed a new character that we're going to be publicizing pretty soon. His name is Flood Milstrain, private detective, and I do the voice of that. And as far as the industry goes, it's wide open. I mean, it's got more people and younger people who are very talented and very interested. And like we said before, with the internet and media the way it is, it's exploding exponentially. Mm-hmm. So I see a great future in this business for all kinds of talent. If they really want it, it's there.
Well, the mere fact that you and I are doing an interview again, this time not on a traditional radio platform, but on a podcast, this is the future for a lot of us in broadcasting as well, to reach even more people is certainly thrilling. Well, Fred, you're a delight to chat with, and for those who love old-school voiceover, check out Paul Frees on YouTube. There's a million hits, and it's voicepeddler.com for Fred Frees. I look forward to being a part of your project, and I certainly hope we'll keep in touch in the near future.
Oh, thanks a lot, Jordan. Take care.
Fred Frees, part of a family legacy of voiceover, his father, the late, great Paul Frees. You've been listening to On Mic with Jordan Rich. It's a podcast produced and hosted by Chart Productions on the web at www.chartproductions.com. As always, I thank you for listening and wish you a fantastic day.